Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Justine Bateman. With Gina Grad on news and a new recipe in Eat Your Feelings, Paul Bryan on sound effects, and a phone call from RJ Bell for his Week 8 NFL picks. And now, he never has a second cup of coffee at home. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on Monday. Get it on. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing. Jam-packed show planned for you guys this Thursday. Is that the day? Yeah.
Indeed.
Thank you for listening. Thanks for sharing. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
I don't know about that.
One of my three.
One of your many reads.
Rangy takes. So, Justine Bateman's coming in. I'm excited to talk to her. Yeah. I saw her at Phil Rosenthal's house watching Uppity the other night. So that was good timing for us and
how did that go?
Me.
You do a Q&A afterwards?
Yeah, it was very good. And
should you refresh the people on what Phil's house is? I don't know. It's been a while.
Sorry,
since about
theater.
A cozy little
pizza,
living room.
Lots of good friends and a great environment to show a movie. And it was nice because no gearheads in the room. a lot of yarmulke heads. And they all really dug the film. So,
it's a good human story. I don't think you have to be. I don't think you need to be great at all to enjoy it.
Thank you, and we'll ask Justine how she thought. She'll lie. That'll be fine. No, she'll come in, and I'm glad. I'm glad for the timing. So,
is she coming in to promote Uppity?
Promote Uppity.
Yeah, she's got a book, and we'll promote that in a second. It's called Fame: The Hijacking of Reality. It's available now on Amazon. And
it started as an academic paper.
Yeah. At UCLA. Nice. You can just go ahead and bookmark us, click through. That's nice. All right. I want to thank LegalZoom at LegalZoom.com, Enter Adam, and Castrol Edge, Titanium Strong for maximum performance, and ButcherBox. Tell you more about ButcherBox.com in a minute. Enter Adam. So I am on this internet show called Hot Ones, and you eat the hot wings while you're interviewed by a lovely guy named Sean.
It's so damn hot.
They've had a lot of big celebrities on this show, and then there's me. But the guy, Sean, is a big fan of mine, so that's why there's a bunch of big celebrities and me. Charlize Theron, I guess we have to say now, Bryan Cranston, Neil deGrasse Tyson, Chrissy Teigen and James Franco and Seth Rogen and John Mayer and Natalie Portman.
And you snuck in through the side door.
All the luminaries.
Yes.
You still said it wrong, though.
Theron?
Theron. There you go.
What'd I say?
Theron.
Oh. Okay. All right.
Moving on.
Okay.
We could double back to your Notre Dame.
Notre Dame. And my mean grandma who's been dead for 20
years. That's right. Notre Dame. All right. Charlize Theron.
Theron.
Just go fast. Theron. Just go fast. It's funny. People would say to me, I was talking to someone yesterday. No, I was talking to someone a half hour ago, and he said, the auction house, Sothebys. Like, is it Sotheby's? Is it Souther?
Sotheby's.
Just go Sotheby's. Mm-hmm. Just go Sotheby's.
Yeah.
Like, just push on through it.
Yeah.
I learned that when I went to Chichester. Just don't stop. Just Chichester. Like,
Worcester.
People don't
say, New England has a lot of that. Worcester and Gloucester. And
Yeah. So with Charlize Theron, just don't slow down. Just blow through the name and you'll be fine. All right. So,
Irwin.
Heroin.
Reversal.
So I did this show and it was fine. And I'm not a wings guy and I'm not a hot wings guy and I'm not a hot sauce guy. I like to shake on a little gringo bandito. That's my friend Dexter from The Offspring came up with that. And, Tabasco hot sauce, shake a little on the eggs or whatever. But
kick it up a notch.
Not a hot sauce. Dude, and in general, not a fan of the novelty curry that burns your tongue and that kind of stuff. But
nothing on the Scoville scale.
Well, this not for me, but this show is very high on the Scoville scale. What is the highest?
It's Scoville.
Scoville scale.
Scoville.
You sit there and you go through 10, and you start it sort of low on the scale, and you get to Satan's pitchfork at some point. I don't know what's highest, Maxipatam, when I did it.
The highest one that you had is over 2 million Scoville.
Jesus.
That's number 10. Number 9 was 625,000, so...
It gets
it's quite a lot jump. Hotter.
They go into novelty. It gets into novelty hot.
Into ghost pepper territory.
And you're famous for having no tummy aches, no heartburn. You're not a physical, you know, kind of guy when it comes to that. How bad did this get for you? How punishing on your internal organs?
Nothing.
Wow.
It didn't do anything. I'm not used to hot sauce, and I don't eat hot sauce that's not sort of wuss hot sauce. My idea of hot sauce is like hash browns, a little bit of ketchup, and a couple shots of Tabasco into the ketchup,
right,
and sort of mix it up a little bit, a little flavor. But I don't get that hot.
I like to enjoy my food, not be challenged by
yes,
it.
Yes, right. I feel that way about food and music and art and like
sex.
Everything, like sex. Like
I'm here to enjoy myself. I don't need to prove anything.
I completely agree. Like I've never... outgrown a blowjob. I don't need the hey, sweet. I love the idea that you popped a Mentos, but mm-hmm. totally unnecessary.
Thanks for the effort.
So anyway, I didn't know what to expect, but I didn't feel like I would fare very well because I don't eat hot stuff per se. And I just sat down and ate, and I just went through it. It was fine. I'm not a wings guy. I'm not a hot sauce guy. You do like 10 wings, and just is it 10 wings? You got to get Dylan in there because Dylan went with me, and we just sat down and did the interview, and I think actually at a certain point the guy who's hosting the show is probably having a harder time with it than I was. I wasn't having a hard time. I don't know why. I wasn't.
Presumably he does this a lot.
Yeah, but
one would assume.
Yeah, I guess you could break your leg a lot and it would still hurt. I don't know. I thought I was going to be sweating a lot, and my head was going to get all sweaty. I wasn't worried about the stomach or the next day or the aftermath or any of that. I had nothing. I don't know. Dylan, would you say that I was unfazed, I guess would be my – I'm building toward a DJ Khaled thing here.
Weirdly, yeah. You kind of breezed through it. I think they took it easy on you.
It didn't have an impact on me, but the – Larry Scoville scale does not lie, and we got up to 2 million or 650, whatever, and the stuff got hot. I could feel it getting hot, but we still slathered it on and ate the wings, and the wings would be pre-cooked with it, and then at a certain point, you'd actually put it on top, and it just didn't seem to bother me, and I had no thoughts about it afterward. Like, if you would ask me... I did it at, I finished up at, I don't know, 5:30 in the evening. If you would ask me at 8 o'clock that night what I did today, I'd be like, we did a podcast. Oh, the wings thing. But it wasn't like my mouth is still or where's the milk or any. It just didn't affect me that much. So somebody someone tweeted me DJ Khaled.
Uh-huh. Doing this?
Who did it like the season finale in like 1995.
Again, all the greats.
And you know.
1995?
I'm sorry.
Oh.
2000, sorry. Oh, five. 2015.
You know that young, thin DJ Khaled?
You know
going
that
on
part,
a long time.
You know that part where you like. It's my thing. It's my thing when Kanye performs. It's my thing when Yoko performs. I don't lump them in the same group, but kind of. It's my thing. I have. You hear about someone's meteoric rise to success or something. There's a part of you that goes, Jesus Christ, what a douchebag. Like, what's this guy even do? And then there's a part of you that goes, don't be a bad human. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's something they do. There's something you're missing.
They've been at it for 15 years.
And then you get guys like Gary who are like, oh, no, I go to Kanye's guys. That guy's a genius and whatever. And then you go, okay. And then you go, you know, 3 weeks later, you turn on the TV and it's like Saturday Night Live with musical performance by Kanye West. And you go, all right, I'm going to try to put myself in a neutral position and I'm just going to really watch this performance and really see like what, let's not prejudge. What am I missing? Why am I so quick to judge? Why am I so angry?
It's tough for you not to prejudge.
And then you watch his performance and you're like, I'm going to choke Gary. This is horrible. This guy's fucking horrible. He's horrible. I was right all along. Yoko, we've always been right. But like DJ Khaled, like that's like, all right, the guy possesses no talent. He points at the ceiling. He yells his name. He yells, we the best. He does nothing. And then you're like, but maybe he's a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
no,
I don't know. Maybe he's a fantastic.
Talk to his girlfriend.
Yeah. Okay. So somebody tweets me, his, like, let's not be a hater, but then somebody tweets me his appearance on Hot Ones, and it was so on brand, as Brian likes to say. Like, it was like, if you think a guy's a douchebag, this is the perfect piece of footage for you to see.
Okay, well, let's see it then.
All right, let's, you can hear it, sorry.
So this one's El Yucateco Caribbean Habanero. It's kind of got like a fruity flavor. Like if you thought these two were like kind of hot, which they're not. I don't know where.
No, it's
Texas
hot.
Pete hot sauce is like a nothing.
I don't really like too much hot theories like on the theory.
Really?
What?
I don't know.
Yo, bro, is yours different than mine?
No. If you want to switch, we could switch.
But I want to switch.
All right, hold it for a second. First off, just the notion that
poisoned?
I want to switch.
Yeah, it's like Princess Bride, iocane powder.
It never, obviously, I just did the show. It never crossed my mind that these would be any different from one side to the other. That'd be a stupid.
Like
you're being
gag
punked.
On you.
Yeah.
Right. Number one. Number two. I can tell you that I think I did 10 hot wings. There's hot wings and drumettes. For your first five, you're just enjoying yourself.
Right.
Like, the first one or two just seems like you're at a Buffalo Wild Wings watching
a
football
game. You know,
not even. It's the first few are like you just ordered some, like you said, not too harsh. And my kid's with me. One's going to have a few or something. It doesn't kick until maybe six or seven. That's when it really starts to make its move. DJ Khaled stopped at three. Three is, we're not even getting hot.
We're
at
still
three.
At Hooters.
They're still at Hooters at three. But anyway, they're going to swap trays. Go ahead. Sorry.
Here you go.
Listen, and I'm going to tell you something right now for all my fans. I promise you, if I stop, doesn't mean I gave up.
That's exactly
yes,
what it
does.
What that means.
By definition.
I'm going to teach you something today.
Okay.
Here we go.
We can't play ourselves. We can't play our health.
It's 350
pounds.
We can't
hurt ourselves. See, that's the key. Now, there's people that will do dumb shit, fuck around, hurt themselves trying to get to the what you call a victory. This shit ain't no victory to me, my brother. This shit ain't doing nothing but me but causing problems to me. What kind of sausage is that last one?
Listen, Khaled, if it comes down to it, I'll eat your wings. Okay.
This ain't the love I'm want to vibe with right here.
All right. I'll eat your wings.
Yeah, I'll do the questions. This shit too hot, bro.
If you ran...
I just want to be clear. I ain't give up because...
You kind
of
did.
No, let me tell you something. I don't encourage nobody...
Wait, pause it for a second. He's one of these blowhards who has, and we've known and worked with these people in the past, who have, like, pre-prepared things in their lives. Like, they have, like, a la carte statements they just pull out once in a while. And for him, like, the don't do harm to yourself. I'm sure that counts when you're, like, talking about heroin or crack. But when you're talking about things that make you uncomfortable, that's not doing a lot of harm to yourself. I'm sure you're sweating.
I'm also putting a jewelry theory together that crazy friends of your mom's had when you were in high school, which is if they can put on jewelry and make a shaking sound, like literally like a bell, like here he, like they put a bunch of gold. There's guys who do a loose Rolex.
The town crier.
The guys do, and they go, hey, bro, and they shake their hand around. It's like it jiggles, and then you got to pay attention. Like, I will preface all my statements with this jingling sound that lets you know it's the truth, bro.
You should do that.
I should. I got to get some jewelry.
Jingle. Sleigh bells.
Get a movement watch
like,
in here.
He's like, hey, man. And he starts shaking his watch around. But now he's going to lay some truth on us. Sorry, go ahead.
Above a building and hurt himself.
Oh, you got to rewind it. Sorry. Max Bata, always rewind it 10 seconds. It'll run up to it again.
Not harming yourself.
Yeah, but he gives a great and very valid example here.
DJ Valid.
Sorry.
I don't encourage nobody to jump off a building and hurt themselves. That's what we don't do. It's like telling somebody, I'm not saying you saying this, but it's like trying to encourage somebody to do drugs. And this ain't good, bro.
There's the jingling.
I've done it 9 times.
It's like telling someone to jump off a bridge, bro. A building.
Or just have
9
a little Tabasco.
Times.
Yeah, no, it's really not like telling someone to jump off a building, bro.
Yeah.
Wow.
What you call a victory?
It's a good spin, though. It's a real good spin, putting it on that guy. Like, he's the bad guy.
Like you're doing this to people.
Oh, was I delighted to hear he was every bit the sad sack of shit I thought he was.
Well, the sad sack of wind.
Yeah, just wind. Yep. Just like, bro. Look, here's the deal.
I got a saying, bro.
If you don't want
sure you do.
Hot sauce, then just go, fuck, my tongue's burning. Yeah. It's uncomfortable. Like, you know, I get it, but I'll just sit here and answer. Don't lecture him. Mm-hmm. on not quitting when you're quitting.
This ain't about quitting. Well, actually, it's exactly what it is.
Well, this is everything in a nutshell for me is this right here, which is if you want to opt out, then opt out.
Yeah, stand behind it.
It's a silly thing to begin with.
It's a silly thing to begin with. Right.
Absurd.
Do not quit and then give the guy who's not quitting a lecture on you not quitting.
Yeah.
Bro.
Yep.
And how impressed are we with this guy who's clearly not at all intimidated by DJ Khaled.
Like, I'll finish the wing.
Yeah, he's making fun of him the entire time. Yeah.
Well, it's hard when you're being filmed when someone goes, I'm not quitting, and you're like, that's exactly by definition what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was great.
Anyway, that was fun. So, and he did not disappoint one iota. Thank you.
He's on brand, like
Jesus
you said.
Jesus Christ. How blowhardy just was that?
It was awesome. It was everything
awesome.
And more.
You can see how feeble-minded people would fall under his spell. Because he has a rap. He has a force of personality. Like, I'm going to tell you something right now. It's like, please, tell me something.
You know,
I learned
something really important today from DJ Khaled.
That's right. He didn't quit.
Yeah.
I didn't quit.
To continue would have been like throwing him off a building.
Right.
Right. It's awesome. I also like when they go, I'm not accusing you of doing this, but it's like throwing someone off a building.
Yep.
It is your show. You did set up the hot wing. So by definition, you are accusing him of doing that.
Yep.
All right. RJ Bell, a couple initials we tolerate around here much more than
he the best.
DJ.
He the best. I just love it when I'm not disappointed. Because if he was like super self-deprecating and funny and he didn't have a sense of humor about himself and everything, all my pre-existing emotional conditions would be washed out to sea. But all that did was solidify everything I've ever thought.
Uncut.
That was better than I could have even dreamt.
Yep.
I was watching some highlights of the Dodgers-Red Sox game the other night. I've seen the guy hit the homer at Fenway and over the Green Monster.
The one that put him ahead?
Yeah, or the one that, I think they're ahead 5-4 when he hit it, and the one at the end. But anyway, I just looked at the fence, the Green Monster, and I just saw it said, Jim Beam since 1795 on the wall. And I thought, and we're kind of used to that kind of stuff. But then I realized, like, think about companies in this country. Uh-huh. They're not usually around
Uber.
hundreds of years. Like, there's a kind of a Sears version where it hits a zenith in 1939 and then starts trailing
slowly
off. And
out.
I don't know what the gap is up to right now. And I know some things involve technology, so they weren't around. But there are millions. People don't know how many car companies have come and gone since the turn of the century. Or so 1915, there used to be hundreds of car companies and all that. And then I started looking at booze. Bushmills.
You gotta have some heritage there, man.
Bushmills, 1608.
Oh, yeah, those little British companies. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Johnny Walker's in 1820, which seems new, but think about companies out here, you know? I mean,
well, that's here.
Jack Daniels, 1875. Mount Gay Rum, 1890. And I started thinking about, oh, yeah, people love booze.
That's right. Booze endures.
We don't necessarily love Sears. We just love shit you can get from Sears.
Yeah.
But if we find out you can get it online or get it across the street or get it at Old Navy, then we'll just go over there. But boy, do we love booze.
Get your Corolla drink for Football Sunday, everybody. The lager, the Endless Ran IPA. Speaking of which.
Thank you for that love. But I
established 2015.
But I really started thinking about that. That does say something about us.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's like during the recessions. Like, the booze sales go up. You know, everything else goes down.
Yeah.
And you got to have a vice.
You think about companies, and you know, if a company was started in 1961, like, that's an old company now by United States standard, but these are like 1700s, 1600s, 1400s.
It's impressive.
Like, it's crazy.
Yeah,
it does not go out of style.
Pose this not theory but thought to you guys. So obviously a lot of these, you know, the individual companies, the Jack Danielses of the world and the whatevers, are getting bought up by conglomerates, you know, InBev and Molson's and whatever. With the legalization of marijuana going kind of everywhere now, will, just like Amazon took down all the, you know, all the Searses of the world and all the, you know, whatevers of the world, Borders and all that stuff, will we see these booze companies start to fade away over the coming decade or so?
Why wouldn't they just add weed to their arsenal?
That would make sense. But that's what the brick and mortar stores tried to do, and they couldn't compete.
I think there's two different camps. There's the pot camp. There's the booze camp. There's Dawson in the middle trying to bring the two camps together, drunk and high.
The Venn diagram.
Get over here, bro.
But I feel like, I mean, I'm going to try to think of the people that I know, you know, and I know people that smoke a lot of pot, and I know people who like to tilt a drink, and they're just who they are. Yeah. I don't know if this is your question, but I don't.
No,
I don't.
That's a reasonable.
I don't feel like
answer.
All the guys who watch football on Sunday are drinking a beer, and they're not going to just because if I brought a bunch of pot on a Sunday, they wouldn't go, "Oh, good, and get the beer out of here." Like they want that. I think they're two different buzzes, and that's probably going to always keep a market share for them because of the different buzz.
Question now, for you.
Yes.
The dude you're talking about, just the men of the world, these are people, the people of the world, these are people who came up when one was legal and advertised on NFL Sunday and one was illegal and you had to buy it from the dude down the street. For the generation growing up now where you're going to be able to get it kind of everywhere, does it change?
I feel...
Does it change your fundamental attitude?
Well, here's what I think of pot. I think, as Dr. Drew always says, some people try it and they just fall in love with it. And some people try it and go, not for me. Most of the people who I know who don't partake just tried pot and went, not for me.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's a pretty pure reaction that most people have, and I don't know that drugs are any different than snacks. I just feel like they're going to have that bite of that first snack chip or cracker or cookie or whatever, and they're going to go, I love it, or they're going to go,
I'm not a Pringles guy.
Not for me, and they're just going to go another direction. So I'm assuming there'll always be room for booze and
it's
always room for pot, but it's interesting. But and it was always my sort of point about legalizing pot, which is sort of like, I don't know, the people who smoke it already smoke it, and the people that don't.
True.
And I get the part where you're blowing your vape, whatever, in some 15-year-old's face who's walking home from school. But I'm not that worried about that. I would rather them have a relationship with it instead of be sort of Salt Lake City and pornography like relationships.
Forbidden fruit.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, and that's the thing. If you have a band of drunk people walking down the street, that's one thing. But if someone's super high and they're freaking out, you'll find them under like a kitchen cabinet. They're not going to be out terrorizing the neighborhood if they're high.
Yes, which I enjoy.
In my personal experience.
I'm with you. I don't know why I flipped open David Allen Greer's dad's book, Black Rage, from 1968, which made me laugh. But actually, Drew flipped it open. It was in there, and he flipped it open to a page that was dedicated to our intrepid black brothers. Keep on keeping on.
That's good. Capital
That's
letters.
Very, very letters. 1960s.
Yeah.
Means nothing, but it's still awesome.
On the way home, I was listening to an interview on Nerd PR with a guy who runs the Black NRA. And it was very interesting how in one respect you think when you think of African American men you think of them with guns, and in the other respect when you think of African American men you don't think of them hunting and sporting with different guns. And it was very, very interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. There's this sort of gangbangers version, but there's not really the Ted Nugent version.
Yeah,
I'm with you. RJ Bell's going to call in a moment. First, I'll tell you about LegalZoom. Understanding tax law changes, lease agreements, contract reviews. It's tough to do on your own. LegalZoom gives you the tools you need to stay focused on running your business. We love these guys over here. Mark Garagos, you know, you'd think they'd be his mortal enemy. He loves them. I think his brother-in-law works for LegalZoom. He says, look, if you can get it at LegalZoom, go get it at LegalZoom.
100% true story. Christy was on LegalZoom yesterday doing a will.
Oh, wow.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because we've been putting off for so long. It's like, let's finally get this and a few other paperwork things. But, like, that's where we went.
Again, if you can get it there or get it done there, get it done there. You're going to save money. Don't go with the billable hours. They've created a business legal plan. You can get advice from vetted independent attorneys, tax professionals, licensed in every state. You won't get charged by the hour. It's not a law firm. It's LegalZoom, right, Dawson?
Visit LegalZoom.com now to take care of your business before the year winds down. And for special savings, be sure to enter Adam in the referral box at checkout. That's code Adam for special savings only at LegalZoom.com. LegalZoom.com.
I'm excited about Eat Your Feelings. I don't know if you want to tempt us with a little snippet
of
what you brought.
I'll say it's something I've never done before. It's one of my favorite foods. It is 100% meat-based, and it was a challenge. It was an epic adventure. And just when I was literally thinking at the wee hours of this morning, this is all going in the trash and I'm not coming in tomorrow and I'm never leaving the house again, I said, no, no, no. And I started completely over. And I am so excited about the finished product.
What went south?
When you're doing something NSNG, I'll tell you, it's in the barbecue genre. Right. And when you're doing something keto or NSNG, you can't use molasses. You can't use Karo.
Sauce.
You can't use brown sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So
use a rub or something.
Yeah, because I did a dry rub. But, you know, that thick, wonderful, either Carolina or Kansas City barbecue, it's just molassesy and sweet and smoky. And that's my favorite. That's what I grew up on. And you can't do that. Mm. So I decided, well, how bad could stevia be?
Mm-hmm.
Stevia is
not only
is it horrible tasting to me, it's like cilantro to people, and I don't do well with it. I didn't realize that. It's 200 to 300 times sweeter than sugar.
That's outrageously strong.
And all hell broke loose, and I had a hero, a white knight, save me and help, and we kind of recollected ourselves, and I started over.
Wow.
And I'll give you the whole story as you enjoy, hopefully, the final product.
That was satisfying because I was thinking to myself, what could go so wrong that you'd have to throw out the whole batch in the stevia thing?
Oh, it's horrible.
What could go wrong? RJ Bell?
Yes, Adam Carolla.
Good to speak to you, my friend.
Same to you. And Brian and the rest of the gang.
Hey, buddy.
How are you doing over there from Las Vegas? Where are you in Las Vegas?
I am about 5 miles east of the Strip. It's you might have heard of Henderson.
Yes.
Right on the border between Vegas and Henderson on Sunset Road, 5 miles east of the Strip.
How's real estate doing in Vegas? Vegas always seems to be growing. Is it always growing?
Certainly growing when it comes to, like, new houses being built, new casinos being built. But when it comes to the real estate prices, we were as high as anyone, right, in 2008, 2009, you know, relative to 10 years before, and then the crash. My house, and I'm in the same house for about 18 years now, nice residential area, certainly not brand new. And when I bought it, it was about $130,000.
Mm-hmm.
In 2008, it was about $330,000. So just in 10 years, it went up that much. And then now it's right back to maybe where it was in 2008. So we're almost back.
Jimmy and his band leader, Cleto, famously grew up next door to Jimmy, across the street, I think, from Jimmy in Vegas. And I've been by his old house a few times. But I can't remember where and how far off the Strip. It had that thing that always kind of bumps me. Like, you ever drive along the freeway in Los Angeles and you see those apartments that are, like, hanging over the freeway? Mm-hmm. And you're like, who lives
toward
there?
Downtown.
Like, why do you?
There's building one of those on the on-ramp from the 405 going north by the airport. And it's, I swear to God, it is 10 yards. The building ends 8 yards away from the freeway on ramp.
My friend
it's
lived
crazy.
At one. The freeway, you convince yourself it's ocean noise. It's constant.
And it must kick something up. There's a kind of poor man's valley version of that, and there's a richer condo downtown version, but it's still weird just really living on that freeway. And Jimmy's place was one of those Vegas places that had the highway that was, you know, eight lanes wide, a big wide highway, and then that weird cinder block fence, and then the sidewalk. So his backyard once you got over the fence, you were on the highway, and somebody, I think, did get drunk and, like, bashed through the wall or something and end up in the backyard. I always... always feel that way. Like, once in a while, you'll see that house, and you'll see it on the news. Like, the master bedroom, the car went off the road, went right through the master bedroom. Like, it always bumps me. But that was my Vegas Jimmy recollection.
Well, you know what's fascinating? Two things real quick. One, I mean, you know, Vegas really started growing in the early 90s or so, and you got the people that were here before that. They'll say, like, a famous street is Decatur, which is maybe about 3 miles west of the Strip. And they'll be like, yeah, I remember when Decatur was nothing but a dirt road. You know, that's always the way you can tell it's an old-timer, is the city really was relatively so much smaller, not just in population, but where the outskirts were. And then yes. another thing I would yes. say that applies, obviously, to Jimmy is this town is so focused on gambling and 21 and over. The high school kids that grew up here are very disgruntled because they feel like there's all this fun stuff, but they can't really do it because they're underage. So there really are more subcultures of the high school kids doing things that adults have no idea what they're doing in Vegas, probably more than most cities.
That's kind of interesting. We're talking about Salt Lake City and their relationship mm-hmm. with pornography and what happens when there's a million things for everyone over 21 to do. What's it do to everyone in high school? Mm-hmm. And it's probably totally different than ours with the one, you'd go to the one liquor store with the Asian guy and he'd just sell you beer no matter what. You'd get your biggest 16-year-old friend to go get it. Ah, simpler times. Pregame.com is where you go. RJ, let's see, how'd we do last week?
Let's look forward.
All right.
Well, the good thing, RJ, about going 0-2 is when you built up such a good record over the year that it doesn't, you know, you're still at 57%.
That's
the key. In a weird way, it's nature. You can't beat gravity, Brian, right? The best you can do is be like Bob Beamon or Carl Lewis, right? You can jump the longest, but you're not going to beat gravity.
That's right.
Tell me about it.
All right. What do we got coming up? We'll lead you into it, sir.
It's time for RJ's Parlay with Vegas insider RJ Bell.
What do we got this week, RJ?
Here comes a 30-foot long jump. We're going with the Philadelphia Eagles playing in London against Jacksonville, favored by a field goal. We like the Eagles. Here's why. One of the core concepts of handicapping, Vegas style, is your record, a team's record, and how good they really are not always correlated. And I think the Eagles are a good example of that. They have a bad record this year, but they're probably playing better than they have at any point of the year. But they just had a tough loss against Carolina, so people don't think that. And Carson Wentz, who was hurt, he came back after a couple games missing this year. He's playing better than ever. Right? So Philadelphia, underrated. On the other hand, Jacksonville, they've lost three in a row, and it hasn't even been close. And now there's some real team dissension with the quarterback, Blake Bortles. A lot of players don't want him to start. He's starting. Now you're on a London trip, and I can tell you guys, I speak from experience, when the family, you know, you're 8, 9, 10, 11, and the family's having a little tension, if you're on that cross-country trip, Chevy Chase style in the back of the family truckster, the stressors increase the tension. So I think Jacksonville, Chance's team has really got some turmoil. Eagles underrated, so we're going with Philly, favored by a field goal.
It's an interesting point. I was watching SportsCenter. I was watching Bad Beats or whatever. This is basically over and unders and spreads and stuff that if you bet on the over or the under, you are devastated that this should have happened. It didn't happen, whatever it is. But Scott Van Pelt was talking about like an over-under situation, and he said, I think it was Nick Saban or whatever, was a college coach, and it said the guy who was playing at Tennessee was his former assistant, whatever, so he's not going to pour it on. Mm-hmm. So when they get down in the goal line and it's the fourth quarter and they're ahead by 31 points and there's 2 minutes left, they're just going to stuff the ball right in the middle for four plays and go home, mm-hmm. where if it's a rival, they're gonna going pour to it throw. On.
Yeah.
So understand before you bet the over-under,
who you're dealing with.
How's the relationship yeah. between the head coach of this team and the head coach of that team? If they're friends, shave a few points off because he's not going to bury him.
No, you're totally right. And boy, this Monday night game was such a good example where the Giants were underdogs by between 3.5 and 5.5. They scored, I don't know if you guys watched the game, they scored a touchdown very late. No, it had no effect at all on who was going to win the game, but the whole world was on, that was betting was on the edge of their seat for the two-point conversion, which was going to dictate who covered the spread. I mean, listen, we can debate the morality and all that, but when it comes to engagement with a game, if you have a bet, there's two reasons to be engaged, and that was an example where you could care less if you didn't have a bet. If you did, you were more focused on that game than anything the rest of the week.
By the way, every time Odell Beckham, they show a clip of Odell Beckham doing the one-hander, they should show Odell Beckham on the two-point conversion, just dropping the one that hit him in the bread basket. I mean, he had to come back a little bit, but that was two hands in the belly. I don't know why they went for two. It seemed weird to me, but anyway. And as I've said, the Odell Beckham catch has ruined an entire generation of Pop Warner football players and my son, because they're constantly trying to, they're all going for the one-hander. And it's like, hello.
During our Christmas party, sounds like, throw it, I'll catch it one-handed. It's like, you should probably practice too.
I've got a little fundamentals here. Put both hands up, catch the ball. Don't do the crazy.
When you were in high school playing, how many times did you guys throw a game? Like 9 passes?
Probably.
Well, the leather helmet's gotten in the way of the
Let's see. We had a quarterback named Mario Menifee, who we would pass. It never really worked out. Nothing seemed to work. Nothing worked. Except for me. I was a good long snapper, and we were great punters.
I was going to say, a lot of action.
A lot of punting. Yes.
Well, what's funny is, and I'll get to the second game, long snappers now, you can actually get a full ride scholarship at an Alabama, at a great college school, just as a long snapper.
I got to build a time
you
machine.
Missed your window,
out of your time.
Man.
Yeah. Next pick, RJ.
Second pick. We're going with the Vikings. Pick them at home. So no spread. Just pick the winner against the Saints. And this is another example. Saints had a really impressive key victory. One of our losses last week against the Ravens. It was a coin flip game. You might have saw Tucker missed his first extra point of his career to end the game, or it would have went to OT, and we would have had a 50-50 chance. Saints win, though. Give them credit. And the fact of the matter is, now, not a good road team, now playing a second straight road game after a physical game against the Ravens. Vikings, they are, you know, a smidge below the Saints, but boy, they're trending upwards. They just had a key defensive player return. And their defense, which at the beginning of the year against the Rams especially, was not good. You might remember that Thursday night game. It's improved significantly, and all we got to do is win at home, and Minnesota is going to be rocking. Minnesota Vikings, pick them against the Saints.
Two good picks, I feel, RJ Bell.
I'll take it.
The podcast Dream Preview every week on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts as well. Shoot him a tweet at RJ in Vegas. Thanks, RJ.
Hey, my pleasure, guys. Have a good week.
You too.
RJ Bell, gambler. RJ's Parlay.
I like that RJ is a good dude. I think hung out with him a little bit in Vegas when we went over there for the fight to interview. I think I talked to RJ over there when I went a few years ago to talk to it was the first Canelo Triple G fight, the very first one. Mm. All right, so we got to eat your feelings. Mm-hmm. I'm excited.
Oh, Dylan, did you warm up the side dish?
I intentionally did not eat.
Nice.
Looking forward to this. So we'll get that going. First, I'll tell you about Castrol Edge. Heat, friction, viscosity breakdown. Rob your engine, maximum performance. Friction results in a loss of performance up to 10%. It is the life's blood of your car, the oil. Castrol Edge. It is full synthetic. Engineered with fluid titanium technology. Physically transforms to get stronger under pressure. Help fight friction. Deliver maximum levels of performance for your car. Three times.
Three times, fool.
Three times stronger against viscosity breakdown than leading oils. It's good for what ails your car. Get it in the big jug, by the way. You don't have to do the quart size. You can get like the big, I think they have the big gallon size, and it doesn't make the kagunk. How much better are we at containers now? When I was a kid, it was like, it's cardboard around the side, and it's reinforced steel at the top, and then there's this other thing we sell that's like a buck knife with a hole in it, and you jam it.
Take a running start.
Put your hand on it. It's hit the mini tramp and just jam it into the top.
It's a design flaw.
Then you pour it. A lot of it's going to come out around the thing, but don't worry. It's like, yeah, why don't we just have things that twisted and caps?
Here we are.
I feel like we're there now. Castrol Edge. Unlock the true performance in your car's engine. All right, we're going to bring it in. Gina, you talk.
All right.
Or we'll hear. Wait, do we got a.
Yeah,
we got an opening for this? Yeah.
We were taking a break. Sorry about
Sorry.
That. No, it's my fault.
It's all right.
Here we go.
Gina Grads, eat your feelings. Brought to you by Butcher Box.
She could not stop eating the sugar and the grains. Then our friend Vinny helped her lose the weight she gained. Now she's cooking healthy meals at night. And ever since then, her clothes aren't as tight. It's time for Eat Your Feelings. Do some healthy eating with Gina's recipe.
All right.
Mm.
Okay.
I'm looking
so
at
far,
ribs.
So far, are we happy?
Can I tell you, Gina? I'll tell you how important this is to me.
Mm-hmm.
Personally.
Yeah.
Let me share a quick story.
All right. Please do.
A
little bit spicy.
Way less than a week ago, I did what I do every... 7 weeks, I said to my wife, I'm in the mood
I
for
love
barbecue.
I love barbecue.
I'm in the mood for barbecue. Then Lynette makes a face. And then at some point, I go, oh, come on. And she goes, all right. And then we go to the barbecue place.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the barbecue place. And I had ribs on my mind. I had beef ribs on my mind.
The best.
And we sat down and... Lynette, who's always looking in some other place she shouldn't be looking, like salads or sandwiches, yeah. goes, oh, they got a pastrami sandwich.
Yeah.
And I went, they got a pastrami sandwich? And she said, yeah. Must. And then this one, the waiter comes by. Oh, yeah. It's been added.
Oh.
Now I feel like I got to get in on it.
Right.
So she's like, now all of a sudden I've introduced this pastrami option into my head.
Yeah.
And so I said, pastrami sandwich, huh? And she said, yeah, we do the pastrami here and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay. And then I went, forget the ribs. Let's go with the pastrami sandwich.
Pivot.
The pastrami sandwich was on a very thick, almost bun roll that was way too much sourdough bun roll to the pastrami. And the pastrami was great, but the bun roll was bad and like threw the ratio off. And it was not the pastrami sandwich you had in your head. And I ended up missing out on the ribs.
Oh, no.
So now.
You feel better?
It's makeup time.
Okay. So like I said, this was a huge debacle. I got these beautiful ribs from Butcher Box and used, you know, half of them. And, you know, I found these great recipes for different rubs and different sauces. The rub is super easy, and all of the credits and everything can be found on our website. The rub's from Genius Kitchen. It's just chili powder, paprika, thyme, salt, garlic powder, black pepper, cumin, and instead of, yeah.
Brian's grandma says it's paprika.
And cumin.
She would know.
Mm-hmm. And I actually added a little bit of cinnamon into the rub.
Smart.
And thank you. And I went through every website, video, everything, all the highfalutin, hoity-toity, this is how you do it, and this is how you oven bake. I stumbled upon this woman that I am now in love with. I think it's Debbie Preppin or Debbie Prep Cookin. I have a clip just so you could. This is who you trust when you're trying to make ribs. This is who I want to watch, not some highfalutin, you know, network cooking show. This is who I want
to
see.
To get the meat, to put it on the meat, and you have to do it all over it. And then you use that hand to put into the rub, because this rub will last me all summer. This is our rub for the summer.
That is a woman who knows what she's talking about. It's It's Debbie Food Preppin', and I love her.
Is that a real name? Because she had to go. She had to go to cooking with that name.
That's right.
So I followed her advice. I low and slow,
can I
baby.
Just say this. Yeah. I know cows probably aren't happy that we eat them.
Mm-hmm. Well, these are pigs.
Yeah.
Or pigs.
Baby.
Cows and pigs. Mm-hmm. But I think if they knew just how passionate we were.
Oh, it's a sign of respect.
Yeah.
Of reverence.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
we should worship
know
them.
How much joy they brought us,
that's
they'd
right.
be okay with us.
They bring people together.
Them. Yeah, go ahead.
So this was low and slow, 3 hours at 250, and then you uncover them, put the sauce on. That I homemade
you
as
baked
well.
These. Oh,
yes, I did. I don't have a grill right now. So, again, low and slow, 250, 3 hours. Then you uncover them, put the sauce on them, 15 minutes on each side. It gives them that nice crispness. And I just have to give a shout out to my white knight, my hero, the love of my life, my boyfriend, Andy. Last night around 10:30, I realized my ribs were horrible because of the stevia. I was just sitting there. I was pacing. I was trying to figure out a math problem. I wasn't defeated. Like, you know, I really did feel terrible, and I did consider never leaving the house again. But that was brief. Like, how do I fix this? What do I do? How do I cover this? I made two different sauces to cover the stevia. I made a different rub. I tried everything, and I couldn't get that taste out of my mouth. So this lovely man of mine puts his little shoes, not little, big shoes and socks on, goes to two grocery stores in the middle of the night because I need more ingredients now. I need more of the Primal Kitchen sugar-free ketchup. I need more spices. And he brought everything back, and I started over, and I finished it right before I left, which is why they were still hot. And I did make a little side because I love okra, and I never eat it. So I just did a little okra and tomato side.
If you'll indulge me and allow me to wax poetic about ribs for a second.
Please.
Everyone important in my life has witnessed me crush racks of ribs. And I'm saying plural.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
My love of ribs, baby back ribs specifically, knows no bounds.
Oh,
I have destroyed multiple ribs in one sitting. Every tailgate that we go to with my buddy. My buddy is at a barbecue competition. He does it like competitively.
And I know we have a lot of those listening, so I'm a first timer. Go easy on me. I've never done this.
He tests his ribs out on me whenever he's doing something new for a competition. He's like, come on over and make a new batch of ribs, trying something out. So I know from good ribs. These are excellent. They're not
thank
as good.
Thank you. No,
they're very, well, they're look, really good. In fact, I thought they were barbecued.
Wow. Yeah, see, really, you know what the secret is? Beside, you can do a little broiler action if you want to put a little char on them, or just take the kick it up to 400 and do 15 on each side. But truly, I love smoky flavor. I love it. Use a little liquid smoke. It goes a long way.
Absolutely.
So all of this whole saga, all the pictures, all the recipes, all the tweaks I did will all be on the Eat Your Feelings page on adamcarolla.com. This was an adventure. I learned a lot. And I'm excited now for next week. Who knows what that's going to be?
More ribs.
Yay.
Brought to you by Butcher Box.
Do some healthy eating.
That's me. Crushing ribs at work.
Picture. Fat Brian eating ribs.
The irony is I ate so many more ribs now than when I was fat.
They're so good.
They're NSNG. And by the way, you did it right. I like them both, but I prefer a rub over a sauce.
It's
me too.
Delectable.
I like them both, but I'll choose the rub.
I'm with you.
I don't know. We got to look this up if ex-big league pitcher Tug McGraw has...
Tim McGraw's dead.
Oh, it's Tim McGraw's dad.
Yeah.
Tug.
That's
oh. Right. If he doesn't have a rub, he's leaving money on the table.
Tug.
I would go Tug and rub.
Tug died many years ago, so unlikely.
Come on.
But please,
in honor of?
In his memory.
In his memory.
Tug's rub.
They got to have a Tug and rub or rub and Tug or whatever we do, some variation of those two names. Because
Tug McGraw did have a wine, so it's not inconceivable that he would have had.
He'd expand.
Yeah, he was in the culinary arts.
Yeah, I mean, look, Mike Ditka having a rub is fine, but
doesn't
no
go as
tug
far.
And rub. Yeah. Rub and tug.
That's true.
This is a delectable, Gina.
Oh, I'm
once
so
again,
glad.
You've hit it out of the ballpark.
Thank you.
And you've made me whole again.
Ooh,
good. That's important.
From a rib standpoint.
And when's the last time you had okra? I love okra.
I do. I
love the little popping seeds.
I love it more. I think it's one of these texture things that people have problems with sometimes. It can be a little slimy or seedy or something.
It does get a little slimy.
I enjoy it. And it's just one of those things that doesn't seem to make, you know, I think around here, if you're not a side dish to Mexican food and you're not a side dish to Thai food and you're not a side dish to Indian Chinese burgers or sushi, you're going to have a hard time getting some traction in this town.
That's
right?
True. Yeah.
Did you know, speaking of Tug, I know this from my barbecue competition friend. We all revere, you know, barbecue ribs that fall off the bone. Fall off the bone. They're so tender.
Yeah.
The judges in the competition look for a little bit of Tug.
And I learned that as
it's
well.
It's not supposed to be perfectly
fall
off the bone.
Because fall off the bone can also just mean mushy. And you just kind of, it
still
just disintegrates.
They're still delicious.
But last night's, they did not fall off the bone. Also very important. You got to cut that membrane off the bottom or you will not get fall off the bone ribs.
Oh, unbelievable. Fantastic.
Make it any time.
All right.
Tomorrow and the next day.
Is Justine entered the building yet?
Not yet.
She's. We start a little bit early, so she's a minute late. I'll tell you about ButcherBox. Deliver a healthy, 100% grass-fed and finished beef, free-range organic chicken, heritage breed pork directly to your door on a monthly basis. Brian's enjoying some of those ribs right now. All products are humanely raised, never given antibiotics or hormones. Taste is unbelievable. Huge difference in flavor between the animals raised in a pasture and those in raised in a feed grain concentrated feedlots. And we don't
horrible.
Condone that. Special offer. You get $20 off and a free bacon by going to butcherbox.com using the discount code Adam, plus free shipping. And they'll ship anywhere except for Alaska or Hawaii. And no commitment. You can cancel anytime. It's easy. You'll never run out. It'll always be in your fridge. It's high-grade stuff. It's the best. It's ButcherBox.com. Okay. We will take ourselves a quickie break. We'll do a little good sports. And hopefully we'll run down Justine Bateman right after this.
Hey, ghouls and gals, if you're in Vegas for Halloween weekend, then be sure to join us for costume karaoke at the Other Room in Caesar's Palace. Hang with Lynette Carolla and AJ Benza for a meet and greet from 7:30 to 9, October 27th. Then get ready for a karaoke contest fueled by a haunting amount of mangria and endless rant, judged by AJ and Lynette. So join Carolla Drinks, AJ Benza, and Lynette Carolla for costume karaoke, Saturday, October 27th at the Other Room in Caesar's Palace. More info at adamcarolla.com. No ticket necessary. Just show up and drink.
Ace and Shecky, let's do it.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new episode of Good Sports here on Podcast One Sports. Dave Dameshek here, Adam Carolla there. Thursday Night Football is here. That means another week of pro football action. Ace, in the meantime, I really do feel like you made a remarkable kind of discovery or way to fix society up a little, just a little bit better with your battery idea from Tuesday's Good Sports. You should go back and listen to it. But basically, make all batteries face in the same direction and make it easier to figure out what direction that is by marking the battery and the thing instead of showing the little outline of the battery. Another one along those lines is, in the course of our lifetime, you're a lefty like I am.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember in elementary school, they would give you scissors to use, right?
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember what the scissors were for a lefty?
I just remember taking all right-handed scissors and like holding them upside down and trying to make them work.
And they didn't really, right?
Not really. But I mean, there might be an interesting Hall of Fame of guys like Jimi Hendrix, who just took a regular guitar for a right-hander,
ooh,
just strung it backwards and just always played a regular guitar upside down.
Yeah, that's interesting. I wonder, there's no baseball equivalent of flipping the mitt. I mean, although we've all done that probably at some point, flipped the mitt and tried to go that way.
There is, obviously Jim Abbott did a sort of a version of it that was out of
talk about
necessity.
We talked yesterday about great athletic feats. We still do not celebrate what that guy did at the level that he did it at for as long as he did it. He had one hand and he would field batted balls that were coming back at him at 100 miles an hour, and he would switch the glove onto the hand, field it cleanly, then switch the ball to the other hand and throw it to first base. It was crazy.
Well, second only, as I described on this show not not Good Sports, but ACS a number of months ago when that woman jogger entered the Canadian donut shop and dropped her shorts. She dropped her yoga pants, defecated, and threw it at the guy behind the counter all in one motion.
Wow.
Not since that move. I mean, obviously, there is a new king in the uninterrupted motion world.
I wasn't aware of this. Is the movie in the works already, or are they still bidding war for the the biographical tale?
She gets into an argument with a guy at Canadian donut shop? Tim Hortons. She gets in an argument with the guy at Tim Hortons, like, I need to use the bathroom. And he's like, no, it's for customers only or whatever it is. She just gets angry and starts throwing stuff around. At a certain point, she just walks back.
This can't be true. This is amazing.
Drops the shorts, dukes into the hand in real time, and then picks it up and goes right and throws it with a strong overhand.
Move over, Jim Abbott.
The guy at Tim Hortons. And again, I'm not saying she's better necessarily than Abbott, but I'm certainly not saying that Abbott is better than her. She most.
How have I never seen this before? The guy's on the phone, then realizes what's happening and quickly gets out of there.
Her motion is not bad. She's working out of a stretch in yoga pants. She picks up the Duke and goes right over the top. She doesn't sidearm it. You know,
wow, remarkable. Yeah, that's the guy's reaction is sort of like when you see people reveal a gun. Oh, yeah. whoa. Poops, grabs,
throws,
slings.
Follow through, grabs napkin on way back, wipes ass, and is on her way. It's effortless. Check.
That is something.
Check. I just had something come to my mind.
Uh huh.
And I want to know. I want to know what you think. And you know what? I want your honest opinion.
That's the only thing I can be for
okay.
you, Adam.
Okay. And Gary?
Yes, sir.
And Dylan as well. Tell me what you think of this theory. Most guys have a diet, a lot of red meat, meat and potatoes, cheese, things of that nature, nachos and whatnot. They eat a lot of that food. Women steer themselves a little more toward the kales and the salads and the broccoli and whatnot. Guys spend a lot of time on the pot. You know, they talk, you know, famously, oh, I'm going to read this book. I'll put it by the toilet. I'll get through three chapters in one sitting. You know, like lots of lore and jokes and the zeitgeist of society. Well, you know, he's got to put the phone in the bathroom because that's where he gets his business done. And lots of and then guys joking and in all seriousness, guys saying like, well, I bring scripts into the toilet and I'll just sit there and I'll read the first 50 pages of the script, you know, on the pot. Those jokes don't exist for women. No woman has ever went like, well, I'll read it on the shitter. Just give me the book. I'll read War and Peace. I read Barry Lyndon while I was sitting on the shitter. They don't make a whole lot.
Candace Bergen's autobiography is dynamite, as I discovered while
sitting
dropping
on
a deuce.
The shitter. Yeah. Oh, Lena Dunham's got a new book. Great. I'll read it when I'm on the shitter because I am parked. No gal.
It's true.
Ever says that. Never. They never say it, right?
Never. I've never heard it. Perhaps they do.
Now, I think there's a reason. The reason is there's not a lot of stigma about guys taking a dump.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a dual dump standard.
Extra big one there.
Nobody. Me too. Are you listening? Nobody wants to picture a woman.
Two. I get it.
Just sitting down and dropping the deuce. Yeah, me too. T-W-O.
Yeah.
Right. So we as a society, it's the ultimate double standard.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, back in the day, a million years ago, let's just go back. You go back to the 50s. there was no talk in polite society about, well, my, you know, my wife, well, before I met her, you know, her, she had a boyfriend, she had a couple of boyfriends from college, you know, she was married once before, she has kids, you know, guys speak openly now about, oh yeah, no, we're getting married, but her ex-husband's coming to the wedding, like, she, they're still good friends, you know, this had boyfriends been with, you know, there was a double standard.
Sure. Right.
The guys could boast about being lady killers and slayers of the women. The women always kept it. Oh, no, it was assumed that they'd probably been with other guys or had boyfriends before, but it was not spoken.
Mm-hmm. There's a coxman. What's the female equivalent of that?
Right.
You know?
Right. A crotch woman. Huh? What's that?
That's a dick hound.
Dick hound. Dick hound.
Yeah.
Or dick hat would
Thank
work as
Dylan.
Well. Point is this. Now it's spoken of. When a woman writes a book, she, you know, blame Chelsea Handler. You know what I mean? She'll talk about all the drunken trysts she's had, been with this guy and been with that guy. And we don't look down as a society. They've evened up this double standard. Not in the commode. We are back to the I Love Lucy days when it comes to dropping the deuce. There is no bragging about planet on the toilet, how long they've been there. Now, theory, Dave. Maybe with all this evolution and all this, nobody wants to walk in on their significant other, wife, girlfriend, sitting on the pot, squeezing one out, right? Nobody wants, no woman wants to walk out of the bathroom and go, whoa, don't go in there. Don't go. It is destroyed. Do not get it. No, nobody wants it. Maybe women
are even less attracted.
Have been evolved to shit faster.
I wonder if that's true.
I know it's true.
Well,
because I don't know a man
who could do that on command.
I know dudes who stand in front of urinals for 10 Mississippi before they can even get any flow going out of their dick.
Well, there's the shock aspect of how fast she was able to turn that one around and get it in the mitt and throw it out. But would it be more intimidating? I might submit that it would be more intimidating if you're like, I'm going to poop right now. I'm going to take this magazine and you're going to have it in 8 minutes. You better live in fear while I sit here and create this.
Right.
This weapon I'm about to. I also would submit that that can't be the first time she's ever done that. That came to her. It seemed like a little too easily. Not the actual moving of the bowels, but the notion. Oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to poop now, and I'm going to throw it at you. She must have done that before.
Gary, Dylan, Dave, we can all agree that women have evolved.
I think that's a great point.
To get in and off the pot faster.
Yes.
And now
yes,
we see yes. the virtues of being able to do that.
And men are encouraged to spend more time, do more business, read more books, do everything, and boast about how much time they spend on the pot.
And now we see what we've been missing out on, potentially using poop as a weapon.
But I'm saying the chickens have come home to poop because it has been weaponized and they're turning on us. If that guy behind the counter wanted to fire back, it would take 15 minutes and a Car and Driver magazine in order for him to summon up.
I'm going to get you.
Fire.
Wait, officers, don't take her away just yet.
Yeah,
wait,
give me
another 7 to 22 minutes.
Yeah, isn't there popular mechanics around here somewhere? All right, let me tell you about BetOnline.ag. College football, NFL football, greatest time of the year has arrived. Do not sleep on this. Let's make our online wagers. Head on over to betonline.ag. Take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Use the promo code podcast1. Receive a 50% sign-up bonus. Do it today. That's podcast1. Get the 50% sign-up bonus. Betonline.ag. Exclusive partner, podcast1 Sportsnet. Whether you love college football, NFL football, betonline.ag has what you want, and it can get you into the action, and it can get you started today. Sign up today, betonline.ag. Use the promo code podcast1 for 50% bonus when you sign up. Take advantage of this incredible offer now at betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts.
We'll talk to you tomorrow. Good sports, podcast one, sports out.